Hey everybody, Shane Presley here with Rock Paper Podcast. I want to tell you about some exciting events I have coming up. Starting with June 12th, I'm hosting a singer-songwriter storytelling showcase at the Naked Vine in Chesterfield with three super talented writers, Joe Bozzelli, Seth Brand, and Tyler Lewis. It's going to be a $5 cover for that show. I would love to see you come on out and support these guys. It's going to be a listening room experience, so everybody's going to be quiet. We're here for the songs and the stories, and it's going to be a great night. Brian's going to be serving up some delicious drinks, and so come on out to the Naked Vine in Chesterfield on June 12th. And then on July 8th, I will be at Old Rock House in St. Louis, hosting this year's 4th annual Rock Paper Podcast birthday show with Old Souls Revival, The Scandaleros, Matthias and the Pirates, The Many-Colored Death, and The Sophisticated Babies. So, stacked lineup full of all kinds of my friends from the show. That's going to be a $10 ticket. You can purchase those right now at metrotix.com or $10 at the door. And for more information, visit rockpaperpodcast.com. For the singer-songwriter night, you can visit nakedvine.net. For the birthday show, you can visit oldrockhouse.com. And please come on out to these shows. Support local music, everybody. Thank you. Hey, everybody. Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast. I want to tell you about my friends at Music Record Shop. Find them over there in the Dot Zack building in the St. Louis area. Or you can shop online 24/7 at musicrecordshop.com. They'll have new records in every Friday. I just had a great time hanging out with those guys for Record Store Day. I'm sure you can swing by and still pick up a couple of leftovers from that. You can also follow along with them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. All kinds of records and tickets given away throughout the day over there. And be sure to check out the exclusive meet and greets and record signings they've been doing. So everything's at musicrecordshop.com.
What is up? This is James with the Cerebral Entertainment Podcast, and I am here to tell you about an event that is going to blow some socks off, and I hope some of those socks are yours. And that is the Send Up on Shaw, June 2nd at Gaslight Lounge, located at 4916 Shaw Avenue in St. Louis, Missouri. There will be live comedy, there will be live music, and of course, there will be live podcasting. The exciting thing for the CEP is that we will indeed be podcasting at this extravaganza of awesomeness. Tickets are $27.03 via Eventbrite for this festival happening both inside and outside of the Gaslight Lounge, and the lineup for all the performers is going to flip your jibs. I wouldn't lie to you folks, but go check out the Send Up on Shaw Facebook event page and see for yourself. You shan't be disappointed, I promise. June 2nd, from 12 p.m. to 8 p.m., the Send Up on Shaw Festival at Gaslight Lounge. Can't wait to see you there, and keep your eyes peeled for
the Cerebral Entertainment
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio, it's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Hi everybody, I'm Nick with Vintage Pluto.
And this is Maggie from Vintage Pluto.
And you are listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Podcast, y'all.
especially you. To the beat of my own drummer, and if my rules line up with yours, that's real sweet. But if not, you're gonna hear me saying, no, you think you gotta wait till you hear me screaming, no, but should I even listen to the word you're saying? Taste it, say it.
Everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri, hanging out with Vintage Pluto.
Hello.
Hello.
You guys want to properly introduce yourselves for those listening?
Certainly. My name is Nick Sanazzaro. I'm the guitarist for Vintage Pluto.
I'm Maggie Sanazzaro. I'm one of the vocalists, and I play piano.
And we're missing a...
All Maggie's brothers, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. It's Nick Blossy, Dave Blossy, and Joe Blossy.
All right.
Yeah.
So definitely full family effect there going on, huh?
It is a true family band.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, that's cool. Like, cause like those you don't see a whole lot of it. I mean, like, there's definitely some families that play and different stuff, you know. But it's like to have, especially five of you play together in the band, like,
right?
That's pretty cool.
Right.
So tell me, I mean, like, let's get into it. Like, how does Vintage Pluto get started? Does it start from family functions or?
Yep.
Yeah.
It did. So Maggie and I, so going very far back, Maggie and I's dads both knew each other, and the first time we met, we were 11 years old.
Yeah, something like that.
At like a work party. And our families kind of hung out on and off throughout time. But officially it was, I went to a church that her family was going to and talked to her dad. Her dad knew that I was a guitar player, and they were kind of like recruiting for their family band for playing at a church. So he recruited me, and I came in. Maggie was very mean to me. Right off the bat.
I didn't know he was coming. So my parents are both musicians, too. And that's kind of where it all started for us. So we had always done family band stuff. And then my dad's family had been family band. So it was kind of all coming down the line for us. And, yeah, Nick just showed up one week. And I didn't know he had been invited. And I'm the oldest of my family. So I have a certain degree of feeling in charge. And so the fact that my dad invited someone to play without consulting me, I was very insulted. So he showed up. And, yeah, I judged him a little bit.
Very judgy. Yeah. Even before that, I was in a band before, and we had been playing together. I was with my brother. My brother plays bass. We had been in a band for 4 or 5 years, and we did this tour through St. Louis to Illinois, down to Arkansas, and we needed a new lead singer. And I knew that her family were all musicians, so literally one day I randomly show up at their house, and Maggie was also mad that day. She was painting her room.
We were painting upstairs.
I haven't seen them in years at this point in time. I just show up at their house to talk to them about finding a lead singer, to see if any of her brothers actually were singing at all. But
yeah, so I just came down the stairs, and there's some guy at the kitchen table that I didn't recognize because I hadn't seen him in years. And here we are. You know, my sister and I are covered in paint. I'm like, who is this? But yeah, that was Nick again.
Yeah. So. We end up playing together for a while. Mm-hmm. And throughout that, like, my brother and I and Maggie, we would go play gigs and stuff, and we've been a cover band for a long time. But Vintage Pluto was birthed from Maggie's brother, Joe. We actually have it on YouTube. He wanted to do a YouTube video of all of us playing. So we didn't compose anything. We're just like, well, let's do a mashup. It was Counting Stars and...
It was that we had seen somebody else do. It wasn't even like our own arrangement. Yeah. He just goes, hey, everybody listen to this. We're going to do this. And so we showed up. We did it. You can hear our kids running around in the background.
Yeah. Maggie's 2 months after having a baby.
I had just had a baby. Not even two. It was like a few weeks.
A few weeks.
Yep.
Yeah. And 2 or 3 takes, we took it. We put it up on YouTube. And the first time we had posted it, so I was Vine famous at one point in time.
Oh, yeah?
And, yeah. And
That's a whole other story.
That's a whole other story. But my Vine following all started like liking everything on YouTube. Well, we had a video that started going viral. Well, YouTube removed it, and we had to repost it later on. But we're like, okay, let's go ahead and let's do something with this. Mm-hmm. And at my work, we had an opportunity to play to do a playground dedication. It was very low key. And at that point in time, it was my brother and I, and then all of Maggie's siblings. So it was actually a band of 7. Mm-hmm. And that day, we didn't go by Vintage Pluto. We were going by Table of 7, mm-hmm. which we later on realized was dumb.
and taken by multiple people, too.
And actually, because we were trying to book gigs, we were saying, oh, here's Table for 7. Check out our YouTube video that we did. And people would look up, they'd type in Table for 7 on YouTube. If you ever do that, it is... it's terrible. There are many bands who have failed in the past.
And chose that name. So we realized we should probably choose a different one.
Right.
Yes. So we did some weddings and whatnot. But my brother was having a baby at the time, so he couldn't really dedicate that much time to it. So we played our first gig as Vintage Pluto at St. Louis Barbecue and More.
Which is no longer.
Which is now Social. But that was kind of our first gig as VP.
Yeah. Very cool. Yeah. Why'd they take that video down? Was it copyright or something? Or?
I didn't copyright it properly.
Yeah.
So it got removed. It got to like 50-some thousand views and got removed pretty fast.
It's they're weird about some of that stuff, and like Facebook too now is getting into I had a video I recorded on my phone of Shaman's Harvest doing When Doves Cry from Prince cover.
Oh yeah.
And Prince like is notorious for like the anything with his music, like it's taken down pretty fast. But this video sat there for like 7 years on my Facebook account, and then all of a sudden I got a message that it's copyright infringement, and they banned me. They kicked me off Facebook for like 3 days or something. I was like, why was it okay for 7 years, and then now all of a sudden you're like, okay, and now it's got to go, and it's like. So I'm like, whatever. But
how threatening was the email too? We're like, oh my gosh, these people are serious. They're gonna come behead me.
Yeah. I mean, it was from some, you know, whatever Sony or you know one of the some you know something like that. They're like, take it down, or we'll you know, or something like that. Whatever, you know. It's like, but I just thought it was funny how long it set.
One person finds it and decides they're displeased.
Yeah. Anyway, but all that stuff's kind of funny. I mean, I'm like, I'm not trying to claim it. I just. Was trying to capture the moment, so
right.
I mean, it was cool. It was a cool moment.
Yeah.
Well, this is our first time really getting to hang, so I thought that would be fun to come here and get to know a little bit more about the group. And like, we did get to hang out last night, which was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I caught you over there at Taha Twisted Tiki over there, and which I guess has kind of become a home, right? Like, Sunday nights over there.
Yeah, so we had a good opportunity to play every Sunday. So Jim Crandall, he's the GM there. I reached out to him. One of my employees worked with him previously at Sandrina's, and she got us connected. And he was like, "Hey, I'm just trying to do this Sunday night thing here. There was salsa here for 10 years, and the previous GM made him mad and he left. Something bad happened. Not sure what the full story was, but I was like, well, I'm like, what do you think about doing like a I Love the '90s night? Like Maggie and I can tear it up, and it went over well, and we've been there ever since, and they're our family now, and we have a good, it's kind of like a Sunday night thing, our friends come up for a little bit. It's always hard to get people, it's industry night, so it's hard to always get people to come out on a Sunday night, you know, that are working professional jobs, and, but it's fun. We have a nice, good following, good family come in, they enjoy it.
Yeah, but, I don't know, I didn't catch the guy's name, but there was a guy next to me that seemed to really be enjoying it last night. And like,
oh, Andy, yes.
Yeah. So
yes.
He was having a great time. Like I said, the 90s were, you guys were playing a lot of my favorites. I love listening to 90s on 9 in my car, and I sang along at maximum volume.
And, you can always sing along loud with us, too.
Yeah.
We appreciate that.
Yeah. Especially, like, you guys did a couple of my favorites to, like... Four Non Blondes and what was the Alanis Morissette and so anyway, just like those are just fun for me to sing because they were like way out of my range, but they're just catchy songs, and
everybody loves those. That's funny. Yeah. There's just, you know, certain songs that regardless of the venue or really even, you know, where you're at performing, there are certain songs that everybody just loves
for sure,
and those are definitely some of those.
Yeah. And Four Non Blondes, I don't know what it is, but there's something, people love that tune. So.
Oh, yes, that's usually our closing song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, you wait until everyone's really drunk to play that song, and that's when the tips start rolling in.
Yeah. And everyone sings very loudly.
Very loudly. And they're like, just keep playing the chorus over and over again. Like, all right.
Yeah.
Show me where to go, but tell me what I want.
tell me, what will I find? What will I find?
You guys dusted off a couple of other ones too, which I thought was fun. It was like, you know, even showing some range, going to like did Led Zeppelin in there and stuff, yeah. And like, which is not an easy song to sing, obviously, or play. Yeah, that was fun. I had a really great time hanging with you guys last night. So
thank you.
But you said you were kind of did the cover stuff for, you're still doing covers, but you're doing that for like over 10 years now?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty crazy. So I'm guessing you've probably using that to kind of getting it gearing into writing originals. You guys are working on a full length record.
Yes.
And I'm guessing using all that, like mm-hmm. learning from so many greats,
yeah.
kind of applying it to your own sound and stuff.
Right.
And, so let's talk about this record that you guys said this Genesis will be out on. July 1st?
Yep, yeah. July 1st is the release date.
And this will be the full-length debut studio album?
Yes. So it'll be 13 songs is what we decided to go with on it. We've had two EPs. We had a acoustic EP that we did at Gaslight. That was a very fun venue. I got linked up with JB, so my cousin Leslie had played there. I'm like, hey, where's a place I can do like a live recording at mm-hmm. that has like a bar? And she's like, Gaslight would be awesome. So that night I came in, I told JB and Mark, who was doing the live recording, that I go, hey, here's the deal. In 4 hours, we're going to record 6 songs. We're going to do 2 takes each, and we're going to do it live. And on top of all that, we have 4 different singers, and we're going to be rotating instruments the entire time. He was like, you guys are crazy. There's no way that's going to happen. But they didn't know our backstory. We've been playing together for so long. It's easy. It's second nature now to us.
Oh, yeah. Live is our favorite.
Yes.
And it was so fun. We had, it was fun getting to be, you almost kind of feel like you're in a fishbowl where you're like behind the glass and everyone's looking in at you, or you're at the zoo or something. But we had so many people out supporting us too. So when we would finish a take, there was applause and there was a whole, community of people there with us. So that was a really, really fun night.
Yeah. I've often joked about like done some things over at Gaslight myself, and like I feel like they should have a mic on the outside feeding into the
because
you watch everybody clap and it's like it's weird just to not see it. You see it but you can't hear anything.
Mm-hmm.
So but yeah, it's a neat spot over there for sure though. Mm-hmm. I like what they're doing.
When we were trying to book stuff then doing more originals, it was difficult because we can get in anywhere in South County because we have good relationships. We've been playing for 10 years throughout this area doing covers. But to start moving into more original venues, that was difficult to book. So I was like, well, let's just go in there and let's do original songs, as many as we can do. And then we'll just put it out on Spotify. Because that's what everybody was asking, like, what do you have on Spotify? I don't want to see anything on YouTube. Mm-hmm. I am sitting there thinking that these, GMs or the bar owners want to hear real live stuff. Recorded from our phone to hear us actually live. But just wasn't working. So we did that. We did it all in one night. And we released that album, and the only downfall was of that album was that people thought we were just an acoustic gig, and that hurt me a little bit because I'm an electric guitar player and blues is my soul. But we kind of work around that, and then we did our Christmas album, which we're very lucky. We had an original song. We have one original song on it, and Joy FM, the Christian radio station in St. Louis, they created a playlist on Spotify and they added us to it, so we got like 4,000 or 5,000 streams during the month of December, so it was cool.
It was very fun.
Genesis was the thing that we wanted to, okay, this was us, this is who we are. Yes, we have the ability to do acoustic stuff. It was just easy for us to do for the evening at Gaslight, but we really wanted to showcase each person and what they are very good at. That was what was unique about our band, was that each person writes the songs. It's very different. As you can tell, you've listened to multiple songs.
Yeah.
The genre very much varies. And even as we were kind of coming up and people are recommending what we need to do for genres, it was, you need to pick your genre. Your blues, your rock, your pop. Just pick it. Stick with it. And I was like, hell no. I'm going to do whatever mm-hmm. the hell I want. All of us, that's what's unique about us, is that we all write. We're a family band. We're not breaking up anytime soon. We just all write our music, and that's what we're going to do.
Yeah. Yeah, I think... I don't know. I feel like radio, that's what radio wants, is you to kind of fit into a box. You want to,
But music, like all the stuff, like some of my favorite artists cross over many genres and stuff. And so it's like there really are no rules to any of it. Like, you know, you might have one song in particular that maybe you're more your radio, you know, friendly kind of, that fits into their what they want you to be. But like, but as far as an album, like it's fun to hear all that variety coming through and hearing different stuff. And I look, you know, I regardless of how you what you think of the man, but like a guy like Kid Rock, like he's been on country stations, on rock stations, on the Christian channels, on, you know, like he's been on every station on your dial. And he, you know, so some may call him a selling out or whatever, but he's getting paid and he's doing it, and like some
doing what he wants. He's not restricted. That's that's what music is. Is I feel like, you know, Jimi Hendrix struggled with that, which was being locked into what they expected you to be. And I told them very early on, I'm like, we're not doing that. We will be whatever we want to be. If one day I want to be a country artist, which would really be crazy, but if I want to be a country artist, then I'll be a country artist. Right. Like, I'm not going to be restricted to whatever I want to do.
It makes it more fun too. I mean, we grew up listening to all different types of music. Like I said, both my parents are musicians, and my dad came from a more rock background. He played in, you know, a band with his family growing up, and then my mom was musical theater. That was her thing. So we grew up with this wide range of, you know, everything in between those, and we liked getting to do it all. And, you know, as far as even listening to musicians, we would go, that's what makes someone an incredible musician. If they're versatile and they can do jazz and they can do blues and they can do pop and they can do musical theater and rock, that's what shows you have the skill to do all different things, and it's what makes it interesting.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Well, you, let's share some of this stuff, give people a little sneak peek of what's to come, what you guys have been working on. We got, one of my favorites was Southbound.
Awesome.
It's just kind of, it's fun. It's, I felt like it was kind of, I don't know, like, it's just like, it's an easy to sing along to, like, and obviously I think there's, I think people can relate a lot to the, message in there at the beginning, anything you want to share around this tune?
Sure, so that song was birth, what was that, was it about 6 months ago? So, 6 to 9 months ago.
It was in August.
The train derailed and went on, fell down on 55. The whole highway was shut down. At that time, we were at my brother's in-law's house, and we were hanging out. My grandpa was there. Well, the day that I had showed up to go see my grandpa when he was there, he was out back in their backyard, and I walked up. We call him Popeye. I walked in, I go, you know, hey, Popeye, what you doing? He goes, oh, you know, just sitting around waiting to die. And then he laughed. He laughs at all of his jokes. He thought, man, he thought that was really funny. And we started talking about this train that had derailed. And it was a conversation between my grandpa, my dad, and my brother's father-in-law. And they're all talking, you know, they were asking, hey, has your appetite changed since you've gotten older? My dad was saying, you know, I used to be able to eat 5 burgers. I can't do that anymore. My grandpa was saying, if I eat 5 burgers, I can't do that now. I have type 2. And it was just interesting. It was just a conversation that was going on. And it was just something you kind of notate as you're reflecting upon your day. And as we're driving home, Maggie's grandpa had left a voicemail for her. And it's in that song, actually. The original voicemail that inspired the song. And the voicemail literally was just like, hey, Maggie, it's grandpa. Just making sure you're doing okay. We've been sitting on 55 for several hours. They had been stuck on 55
for hours.
And he goes, some asshole must have been driving with his head up his ass because 55 is closed. It's a doggone mess. And he was trying to take out Maggie's grandma for a date because it was their anniversary.
Yeah.
And Maggie was like, listen to this voicemail.
I was cracking up because my grandpa he's this very sweet, caring kind of guy who would call and go, hey. He goes, I know on Saturday nights you're usually with Nick's family and you're driving south. I don't want you to get caught in traffic with the kids. So he's calling to make sure we know. But he also cusses like a sailor. And so his way of communicating it was just hilarious. So I'm cracking up. He's like, what are you listening to? And I played it for him. He goes, oh, that's a song. We have to write that.
Yeah. Went home immediately, went on the piano, started playing the chord progression, and just flowed from there. And it was just, the rest of the song was just experiences that I had with my grandpa and her grandpa over time. So, like, there was one time we're out in my backyard, and we were talking, and he he told me that he loved me, and it was very...
this is my grandpa.
Her grandpa, yeah. It was very emotional. So that's in the song. And just, my grandpa had almost passed away about 2 months before that. And there was a time, there's a part that says, Ba, Ba, Bo, Bido, saying. It doesn't really mean anything, but that part was special to me because my grandpa would bite my feet when I was a little kid. And when he was acting like he was a monster, that's what he would say.
Oh, yeah?
He'd be like, Ba, Ba, Bo, Bido, saying, he'd bite my feet. so it was really funny. And when he was in the hospital, I asked him, like, are you going to die? Is this it? That's the type of relationship I have with my grandpa. He goes, yeah, I think I'm going to go now. And I told him, I was like, well, I'll write a song for you. And I had whispered that that line to him. I was telling him, like, you remember you used to do that when I was a kid? And my grandpa made it, so it was all good. But that's kind of what inspired the song, was just conversations between my grandpa and Maggie's grandpa.
That's awesome.
A very special song.
Yeah.
Some asshole must been driving with their head up their ass, 'cause 55 is closed, it's a doggone mess. I'm trying to take your grandma out on a date. Well, that ain't happening, not today. That train derailed and I'm not surprised. They've been driving so fast, I'm surprised they ain't died. I've been thinking about riding and somehow myself. I've been in so much pain, it's a living hell. I said, oh yeah, I'm riding that suburb tonight. I said yeah. Oh yeah, I'm sitting around waiting to die. My appetite's been changing since I've gotten old. I could eat five damn burgers before they got cold. Now I'm sick of potion, 'cause I got time to. Whoa, Snickers, 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 won't you sing me a tune? So I sang him bye, bye, Bo Bido, sang yeah, yeah. Bye, bye, Bo Bido, sang, is this my song? I said yes, bye, bye, Bo Bido, sang yeah, yeah. Bye, bye, Bo Bido, sang, I'm liking my song. Been trying to stick around so I can see your boys. Just watching them play, it brings me so much joy. I took an extra shot so I can try your beer. My sweet boy, can I have your ear? He whispered, yeah, oh yeah, I'm riding that southbound tonight. Yeah, yeah, oh yeah, I'm sitting around waiting to die. With my belly full and my belly around, won't go take me away without nothing that's good. He said, yeah, oh yeah, I'm riding that southbound tonight. He said, yeah, oh yeah, I'm sitting around waiting to die. Oh yeah, I'm riding that southbound tonight. He said, yeah. Oh yeah, I'm sitting around waiting to die, but I'll be singing bye bye Bo Bido, saying yeah, yeah. Bye bye Bo Bido, saying this is my song.
Hey, Maggie. Great Paul. We were out there trying to do the Bartolino's for our anniversary dinner. The traffic is terrible. 55 shut down. Can't get on Von Doggy. Well, some disaster must have happened. Some asshole must have driving with his head in his ass. It's a beautiful, clear day. Almost 5 o'clock. We've been on the road since 10 after 4. We went down Butler Hill and got stuck. And it's been horrible. I don't know. Hope you're safe at home.
Now let me tell you a story about the Snickers. When he was 5, the youngest of the Sanaderos to ever drive, he got in his mommy's car. And he says, I can drive that car. So he got in that car one day and he started down the driveway and he hit a wall.
You're a poet.
Didn't know it.
I love those little personal touches. Even the recording and stuff like that. And like I was saying, all of that in the song, it's fun to have that kind of stuff in there. I've been having this like working theory. I mean, as I'm sure many people have had a thought of it, but I've always thought like you hang around an old man long enough, you're going to write a couple of hit songs, because these guys, especially like grandpas and stuff, they just speak in these lines and you're like, that's a hook in a song. Like, it's just, yep. I need to write this down. What, you know, keep talking. I'm going to write some of this stuff down. And like, and I'm glad that you guys, you know, did the same thing. Like, you picked it up and you're like, all right, we gotta go home and write this song. And
oh yeah, because it was done in like a day.
Oh yeah,
like it was done actually that night. We listened to the voicemail on the drive home and all these just these things that they have said over time. And right. If you listen to the song, you hear each line. It's something that was a conversation I was having with them.
Yeah,
so it's always an emotional roller coaster for us when we sing it, because there's parts that are hilarious because our grandpas are both very funny, but then there's also parts that are just very special to us, and different times we'll all have a little trouble getting through.
Yeah, we debuted that song in October at Schlafly Tap Room, and that was hard. It was a hard song to sing.
Both our grandpa's birthdays are in October, so we've just been celebrating with them. Yeah,
that's all right. That's a beautiful thing, though. Like, you know, like say, and happy to be able to have their relationship and write this song and about him and everything else to carry on. So
absolutely.
Let's see. You said is Words of the Wise, is that on the?
So that's on our EP. We were thinking about putting it on our on the album, but it's actually done so well as a live acoustic. We just were like, you know what, we'll keep it as an EP, and if we want to do it later on, we will. It's what was awesome about doing that live album. So Words of the Wise, we wrote, that song I had written the music about, 7 years ago or 8 years ago. So at the time I had moved out to Iowa, Maggie and I had just been engaged. I took a job out in Iowa, moved away from my family, and we're both Italian. So it was very, very special and very required to be very close to your family. And think about even being in a band together, like you become very close with both families. So I ventured out and I moved out to Iowa. It was an excellent job offer. And I took it, and the day that I moved out there, I got T-boned, had my car destroyed, just bought it to, literally bought it to move out to Iowa, the Escape actually out there. Got T-boned, I had to go get a rental car. And because I'm stupid, I get the rental car and I put E85 gas in it, destroy the car. This is all the same day. Destroy the car. Have no idea. Then find out that it's going to cost $3,000 or $4,000 to get now the rental car fixed. So I'm just screwed at this point in time. I get back to my hotel or my apartment, and find out that my job has changed and my base pay has been cut in half. Absolutely terrible.
Rough day.
Rough, very rough day, and I sat out there with this guitar that I had proposed to Maggie to on top of a mountain, which is a story for another day. But it was the only guitar I had.
It doesn't do anything small. It goes full out.
I literally sat out there. I had walked down to the gas station. I got a bottle of bourbon, and I bought a pack of cigarettes I hadn't smoked in a while, and I literally sat out on my deck, and I played that chord progression all night, drunk as a skunk, just sitting there literally feeling just terrible about myself and the horrible decisions that I had made moving out to Iowa, leaving my fiance behind, leaving my family behind, all to try making this better life, and everything was just crumbling. But it ended up being the best career move I made. A lot of things stem from that particular move. So later on in life, I presented the chord progression to Maggie. I'm like, I can't come up with lyrics for this. I have nothing. And that was kind of one of the first big original songs that we had done as a band, as Vintage Pluto. So Maggie has her own story with this particular song.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was pregnant with our second. We have three boys. So I was pregnant with our second son. And the second time around, you sort of have a better handle on how to do everything. But the first time, you have no idea. And so, we went in, we had our baby. We had been good little parents, and we took our classes at the hospital and learned all the things that we were supposed to do. And so there's all these rules about how you're supposed to sleep, and your baby's supposed to be in their crib by themselves in another room with no pillows or blankets or anything. And there's all these suggestions on how to do it. And we got home, and we followed all the very specific instructions, and our baby screamed. And screamed and screamed and screamed and screamed and screamed, and no one slept. Even the dogs were upset. You can hear our dogs singing on some of the songs we did tonight. We have two pit bulls, and they were miserable as well. And we just couldn't figure out how to get him to sleep. He wouldn't lay in there. And so a couple times I accidentally fell asleep with him in the bed with us, which was a big no-no. But he would sleep, and all of a sudden several hours had gone by, and we'd all wake up. Like, oh my gosh, how did that happen? And so I started doing more research about co-sleeping and kind of fell into this co-sleeping pattern with our oldest baby just because it worked. And that was how we finally got sleep. So the song is, for me, I didn't know all that about how he had written the chord progression. I just knew it was a very emotional chord progression. And so for me, I know we'll face many more of these big, decisions in parenting, but that was our first big, what do we do that works best for our kid? Mm-hmm. You do your best to gather all the research and all the data and all the good information, but in the end, as parents, you go through so much of, we have to do whatever is best for this particular child, and it's going to be different for the next child and the next one, but kind of figuring out what worked for us. And so a lot of the words for me all tied back to that. Words of the wise. So.
Yeah. Very cool. Is that, mentioning the kids, have they expressed interest in music as well?
Yes.
They are super musical.
We'll have to show you some videos because I would say as young as one, right?
Oh, yeah.
Even younger. Marcello, our oldest, was already playing drums. He wants to be a good drummer so he can be good for a guitar player. So he wants to be support, which is just, he was saying that. His big first thing we watched was it was Cream's last concert, 2005.
It was
amazing, and he likes watching that. So we, very early on, our kids,
they love watching any type of music. They love listening to music.
Live concerts.
They sing very loudly. So there's all, they all love music. Even the youngest, he gets so excited when you start playing, especially he likes blues. So as soon as you play something bluesy, he starts bouncing up and down.
There you
go. They all love it. They love coming to gigs every now and then. If there's an earlier gig, we'll have them come. Or like a lot of times now that we're at Tiki, and that's so much of a home for us, they've come to a couple gigs and they just have a blast. So.
Do they do that, I think it's flossing or whatever, that dancing?
I just learned about that today. I just learned about flossing. Not yet. I just learned about it. Perhaps we'll teach them how to do it.
I swear, like, it's like, I don't know, like brainwashing almost or something. Like, like literally every kid at the school is doing the same dance moves of whatever. Like, I don't even know how to do it. But like, ever since like I was, I guess I introduced to it to like that Katy Perry was on SNL, and that was the first time I saw anybody doing it. Was that kid on her show? And then all of a sudden, like every kid is doing, like all lunch, they get up and they do the same moves, and it's like. Either that or dabbing. They all do the dab and stuff. So, like, it's...
Yes, the flossing I just saw on Snapchat. And I was like, what is this?
Yeah.
Well, you're cooler than I am. I haven't seen it yet. So.
That's right.
But, I didn't know if that had caught on with them or not yet. But all these little kids are doing it now. Words of the Wise is available on the... on Spotify on the acoustic EP, you said?
Yes.
So,
That one we got lucky as well. That one got put on a playlist. The playlist is literally moms. It's like moms supporting moms.
Okay.
So obviously because of Maggie's story, and they know that it's a female led band. They loved it. Somehow, on SoundCloud is what happened. Someone found it on SoundCloud, added us on Spotify. They read the story of it, and they're very inspired by just her story of co-sleeping is really what the entire song was about. So that one we just got 4,000 or 5,000 views or streams on that recently.
Which was funny to me because when he first asked me, I sang it to him first, and he's like, "Awesome, what is that about?" I'm like, "It's about co-sleeping." Yeah. It's not, it didn't seem that exciting to me, but at the time, that was a huge part of my life, and it had been a really difficult decision. So to me, it was a very emotional, topic. But I didn't know if anybody else would feel that way. But clearly, it resonated with people.
One day when we're ready to release it, the way that we would have to send videos or just songs to her brothers, we put on Google Drive. Well, I did this recording where I woke her up. It had to be like 5:30 in the morning. And she was a little angry because she was a mess. And we're holding her little kid with this Marcello, and we did the song live. I'm like, "I'll put this on YouTube." She's like, "No, you will not put this on YouTube." But one day, it's been a year, almost 2 years, that we sat downstairs and did that. But we'll definitely post that video one day.
There you go.
Just can't sleep.
I don't know. That's just the cool thing about music. You know, regardless of whatever the topic is, you know, you make it relatable and somebody else connects with it, like, and has that connection to it. Like, you know, even if it wasn't about co-sleeping and you know, just, but sometimes even the words are, like, just vague enough to where people can apply to their own situation. You know, you might say, you know, it might be about co-sleeping for you, but people might, the other words to the wise might be something else for them, you know. So it's like sometimes like that, and like, and it's just a cool thing when people can kind of take on something like that and and apply something for their own life. And so, but either way, I mean, music's it's just fun, and it's, I love the way that people can connect to it like that in different ways. So
yeah,
but yeah, that's great that the moms have taken your story and ran with it like that. So
for sure,
very cool. Let's see, we did another live one. We did Ruby.
Oh, Ruby, yes.
Yeah, which was a lot of fun.
That one is fun. Yeah, Ruby, that's a, just kind of a short story. So a gentleman named Tim Taylor, he was...
The Tool Man?
Tim Taylor Tool Man. He does roll by that sometimes. But he was our one of our favorite bartenders at 119 North.
Probably never gets tired of hearing that.
Never does. His Snapchat is even that as well. So he's taking it. He owns it. One of our favorite bartenders, 119 North, and Kirk was I don't want to, like, completely tiki, he's now just really our heart, but we love 119 North, but we loved it because of Tim. He's an outstanding bartender, probably one of the best bartenders that we've seen. And he had this mustache, like the wax mustache.
Curly Q,
and I was like, all right, Tim, I'm inspired. So I grew the most hideous beard that you ever imagine, and I started doing the curl.
Yeah, Tim at least had a nice beard with his curly Q stash. Nick grew this really long, scraggly beard with his curly Q mustache.
It was impressive. Yeah.
It was impressive. I didn't like it, but I had to at least acknowledge that it was impressive. And people remembered us because I was pregnant, so they're like, the band with the pregnant singer and the guy with the curly Q mustache. I'm like, yep, that's us.
Yeah, try getting identified with that in the St. Louis music scene. Be like, you're the dude with the mustache and plays with his pregnant wife.
Right.
Cool, super cool. Yeah, I remember you. It was memorable enough that we were getting booked. So, anyways, the story, Ruby, so that's my niece. And she is, at that time, she was one. And I went to grab her to hold her, and I had this disgusting mustache. And she just smacked me in my face and did not want to be held by me anymore. And immediately, I was like, song, this is a song.
She really gave you a dirty look on your stash. Really, she was staring at it.
She was judging my stash, basically. But yeah, the lyrics are, Ruby told me in New Orleans, you better shave that stash off because I don't want it up in my face when I'm trying to steal a kiss. And the rest of the song, the second verse kind of talks about her dad, because I really want to ride a motorcycle. I want to. And my brother-in-law, he worked at Harley for a while, and he's encouraged me. He's like, you can do it, Nick. I'm like, I'm not smart enough. I want to crash and I'm going to die. So I want to get a trike. And he's like, you will not get a trike. I'm like, why? Why can't I get a trike? Why do people who want to ride motorcycles judge people that want to ride a trike? Just let me hang back and ride a trike. It's very judgy. So part of that line too.
If my daddy saw me on a trike, he might just have
a heart attack. All right. So,
yeah,
that's about him. That's really what Ruby was about. I came home that night, just sat literally on the floor right here, and wrote out the entire song. It's one of our favorites to play live.
The kids love to sing it too.
Kids like to play it. Yep.
You're like a hammer, babe. Babe, you're insane. So rude, babe. You've got your mama's temper, hey. You're like a hammer, babe. Babe, you're insane.
And that's Megatron howling in the background. But it really, I like that song because it really shows just the kind of our blues, the blues feeling to it. That's the type of rhythm I enjoy doing, and Maggie always sounds great doing any type of bluesy song like that.
Yeah, yeah. Like I said, it's just it was a fun energy to it, and it's fun to sing along to. Like I say, so like I guess this was the live acoustic version. Is that? Does that appear on the record?
We did record it, but we were just limited on time, and sure. We butchered the drums. Just butchered the drums on it. So everything's ready other than the drums, and Maggie's one brother's very particular, Nick, because Nick and Dave switched back and forth and playing drums. Nick was doing the recording for it, and he's a perfectionist.
Sure.
So he wanted to make sure that it was perfect. So we decided to cut it, and we're going to save it for another day.
There you go. Yeah. Next, the follow-up.
Yeah.
Next record, yeah.
Yeah.
You were saying you probably got, like, what, 40, 50-something songs written?
We do have a lot. That's what's very lucky with us. So myself, I'm a writer. Maggie's a writer. Dave, Joe, Nick claims that he doesn't write, but he does write.
He does. I've heard his songs. They're good.
And what's even cooler is that my brother writes. So one of the songs that's on the album is called Standing in the Light. My brother and Joe, Maggie's brother, wrote that song. And then my sister also writes song. My dad writes poetry. So we literally, my mom writes, so my other sister writes. So it's truly both of our families coming together, and we have a lot of content to pull from. Yep. And it's just organizing it. And we always knew that kind of about ourselves and about our families, that we constantly have content that we can pull from. It's just putting an actual song together. But
yeah,
the one that's Staying in the Light is pretty cool. Maggie, for my 30th birthday, because she is awesome. She had everybody in my family write a song about me and about experiences that they had with me, and there was a full album. We talked about, is it sitting here? I'll have to go grab it.
Yeah.
We talked about releasing that as an album.
But yeah. I promised everybody, because some of them wanted to put real personal, you know, things on the album. So they're like, don't release. I need to know for sure that this is going to get, you know, fully released. So there's certain songs getting released. My sister did the album artwork for that. So, yeah, my brother Joe and I recorded it in my parents' basement secretly when Nick wasn't around. And it turned out fantastic.
That was great. It was best gift ever.
Yeah, very cool. Yeah, that's, that's like the fun thing about having musical family like that, and being able to throw something like that together. So
yep,
very cool. We do it, like I said, the record is due out July 1st. Is this a digital release only, or are you doing some physical?
We'll get some physical CDs for sure.
Okay.
Yeah, we're gonna send it off to a bunch of the radio stations that take it in. I know KDHX has already requested the CD, so
yeah.
Just having people, just like I had you, kind of review and give me feedback, but I've got a lot of connections through doing that, so yeah, we're excited about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you can get involved with Vintage Plue though on your Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
You can follow them for more dates, but we do have a couple of things we wanted to mention. You can come see them live, part of the Riverfront Times Showcase on June 17th.
Yep.
And that'll be over at Taha Twisted Tiki there. And which is, if you're not aware, like, the Grove is going to be packed full of all the greats from St. Louis, music all day, every, you know, all weekend, all over the whole. So it's going to be quite the spectacle, and come out and enjoy some St. Louis music. And then on July 1st, you guys are planning a little release party over there at Tiki again. So,
yeah.
But yeah, like I said, you're all over the city, mm-hmm. all kinds of. Different, you got some acoustic stuff, and you got some full band gigs and things.
Yeah.
So all those dates can be found again on the Facebook and stuff. Do we have a website set up?
We mainly just did. I was going to do a website, but honestly, we have such good engagement on our Facebook page. Give it up.
Right.
But most of it's just on mm-hmm. Facebook.
Yeah. I mean, I have the website for the show, but I mean, obviously everything's you know, everybody listens through our app or whatever. It's like, but, you know, it's nice to have that kind of hub sometimes just to have, you know, mm-hmm. where you have everything. But, yeah, I mean, Facebook's, that's where everybody's go-to anyway. Right. First, like, so. Yeah.
Right.
But, yeah. But very cool, man. This has been a ton of fun getting to hang out, getting to jam some live tunes and sure. And share some of these stories. We'll have to definitely do one again soon.
For sure.
Yeah.
So thank you all for taking some time out to hang, and I'll see you soon.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.
See ya.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.